Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The Lord advises Arjuna that as a Kshatriya, he cannot give up his fighting. He has to fight. But if Arjuna practices remembering Krishna, then he will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. Again, he says that there is no doubt that if one is completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Mayarpitamano Bhutir. We work not with our body, actually, but with our mind and intelligence. So if the intelligence and the mind are always engaged in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord, then naturally the senses are also engaged in His service. Superficially, at least, the activities of the senses remain the same, but the consciousness is changed. The Bhagavad Gita teaches one how to absorb the mind and intelligence in the thought of the Lord. Such absorption will enable one to transfer himself to the kingdom of the Lord. If the mind is engaged in Krishna's service, then the senses are automatically engaged in His service. This is the art, and this is the secret of Bhagavad Gita, total absorption in the thought of Krishna. Is there a tractor in here?
Yeah.
Where are they going? Okay. Yeah. So the body is only carrying out what the subtle body is actually establishing. Right? The subtle body, whatever you're thinking in that, that will control the senses. And the senses then are what are the what the body is the vehicle for the senses. So if the senses, the mind is engaged, everything else will be engaged. Right? So that's the central feature. Because in the development of the ego, then your grossest will be the bodily identification. Next will be the intellectual and the sensual. And then next will be the mind. So the mind is much more internal. Mind is the finer point. So by engaging the mind, then everything becomes absorbed. So that's why then Krishna is saying that you have to do the service, because that's engaging the body, the senses, the intelligence. But you have to remember Krishna. You do it for Krishna. That will then catch the mind. Right? Modern scientists are trying for years and years together to reach the moon. And they have no approach as yet. But in Bhagavad Gita is suggested that one has 50 years of life ahead of him. He should engage that brief time in cultivating this practice for remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even for 10 years or 5 years, one should try this practice. This practice is very easily possible by the devotional process of Shravanam. Shravana Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Shakyam Atmani Vedanam Srimad Bhagavatam 7523. These 9 processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, simply hearing, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being 24 hours daily. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one upon leaving the body to obtain a spiritual body, which is just I'm not sure what that word is, but fit. Okay, just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord therefore says, Abhyasa yoga yuktene chetasa nanyagamina param purusham divyam yati partanuchintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Arjuna, is sure to reach me. So this whole thing is on what you're going to get. You know, getting to your process means we've already established that your goal is to go back to Godhead. Right? That's what you can get. Now, to do that, then you have to follow a process that will get you there. So that's mainly by remembering Krishna. Since you get to the spiritual world by remembering the Lord at the time of death. So you're going to remember the Lord at the time of death if you're remembering during life. Right? If you're not remembering during one's lifetime, during the activities, why will one think of it death? Because one doesn't have the practice. Right? So, therefore, Krishna is making this whole focus. So, what the mind is remembering, what the mind is thinking of, because memories are there, but what you contemplate is not due to the memory, it's due to the mind. Right? Memory is just an archive of previous experiences. That's the memory. So it's in the area of the intelligence. But the mind accesses the intelligence and takes advantage of these memories. Achintayan, constantly thinking of him only. This is not a very difficult process. However, one must learn it from an experienced person in this line. Tadvigyanar tamsa gurum eva bigachet. One must approach a person who is already in the practice. So abhyasa yoga yuktena. This is called abhyasa yoga, practicing. Chetasa nanyagamina. The mind is always flying to this and that. But one must practice concentrating the mind always on the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, or on the sound of his name, which is made easier. The mind is naturally restless, going hither and thither, but it can rest in the sound vibration of Krishna. One must thus meditate on Param Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky, and thus attain him. The ways and means for ultimate realization, ultimate attainment, are stated in the Bhagavad Gita. And the doors of this knowledge are open for everyone. No one is barred out. All classes of men can approach Lord Krishna by thinking of him. For hearing and thinking of him are possible for everyone. Right. So, as mentioned before, it's through affection that you're trying to establish yourself. Someone is making that attempt. So this affection then will be gained through this process. We don't know Krishna like that. We are basically self-absorbed, not so much interested. But by chanting the holy name, we become purified in this association. By remembering him, by working for him, then we start to develop that relationship. And when that relationship develops, that taste comes. Right? Now our taste is we do whatever we like to do, what taste we get from that, then we're happy. Right? But this is then in relationship with the Lord, that taste is much greater. So it attracts the mind. Then one is able to be absorbed. So we see is that the process is actually how to be absorbed in Krishna. That's the process. It's not a process of various rules and regulations or anything else. Those are there to engage the body, mind, and words. Right? That's not the purpose. We don't see Gita saying that the ultimate goal is proper perfection of the ritual. No, it's going back to Godhead, which is done by remembering Krishna. So if you absorb yourself in activities that make you that are connected to Krishna, then you can remember. Otherwise, the tendency is not to remember. We get distracted by other things. Does that make sense? The Lord further says, Bhagavad Gita 9:32-33, Mam hi parta vipasritya ye pisu papayonaya sriyos vaishyas tata shudras te piyanti param gatim kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayas tata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajashvamam. Thus the Lord says that even a merchant, a fallen woman, or a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life can attain the supreme. The mercantile class of men, the laboring class of men, and the women class are counted in the same category because the intelligence is not so developed. But the Lord says they also are even lower than them, not only lower than them, anyone. The point is, one does not need highly developed intelligence. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of bhakti yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life has the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. One adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita. He can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so Prabhupada is saying this is the essence. This is the total. What the Bhagavad Gita is trying to give is that if somehow or another you accept the Lord as the ultimate goal, if you make your endeavor, you know, to be engaged in the principles given in the Gita, right, then you will permanently solve the problems of human life, which means the material world. Right? That's what the Gita is teaching, right? Does that make sense? All other things will be subservient to this. They'll be in pursuance of this. So one always has to see that this is what's brought to the front. This is the prominent element. We can't let other elements become more prominent than this. Right? In other words, how to remember Krishna, how to understand Krishna, how to approach Krishna. Right? That's what we're trying to do. All things are in support of that. Does that make sense? So we shouldn't let other things get in the way. Right? It means other things are to be engaged for this purpose. That's what they're there for. You know, as I mentioned before, is whatever you're doing, you don't have to change what you're doing. Right? The activity is the same. Arjuna is fighting. Right? But here, the difference is consciousness. He's changed his consciousness. The external doesn't change. Right? So that means the form is still there. Whenever we say the important thing is this, not other things, it doesn't mean the other things don't have importance. Right? It's just like you're cooking lunch. Okay, what is the most important thing? Right? The preparation that you're cooking or the pots and pans? You understand? Right? Kitchen has pots and pans, but it only becomes useful when things are put into those pots and pans. Right, and after the cooking process, come out of those pots and pans. Right, otherwise, what's the meaning of the kitchen? But you can't cook without the pots and pans. But what's the consideration? Right, do we start with the vegetables and then think, okay, what preparation I'm making, therefore what pot I use? Or do we just go in and pick up a pot and then think, oh, well, what could I cook with this pot? You know what I'm saying? Oh, what's for lunch today? Well, I was thinking to use this other pot today, you know, so, you know, that will create your variety, you know, like that, so like that. Oh, last time you cooked khichdi in that pot. Yes, I was thinking, but, you know, like, so, you know, like, you understand, you think of the preparation, then you work the paraphernalia around the preparation, right? So in the same way as becoming Krishna consciousness, because the practice of bhakti yoga, developing one's love for Krishna, that's what one's trying to do. Then all the practices of sadhana, bhakti and all that, those are adjusted around that. You understand? Right? Otherwise, then it becomes strange. Unfortunately, religion is one of the places where we go strange. Right, you know, somehow or another, we do everything very logically up to religion, and then it goes somehow or another opposite of what it should be. Seems to be pretty standard, like that. You know, if we work with things, we're very practical, deal properly. But if the thing is, you know, has a soul in it, then somehow or another we get it backwards. So some very fundamental things here in relationships and religion, all these things, that we just naturally get them backwards. We think the ritual is more important. Right? Does that make sense? You know, we think that the obligations and interaction is more important than actually the relationship. Right? Interaction is for the purpose of the relationship. Right? Does that make sense? So, these kind of things, we make mistakes and then there's all these problems. Okay? Okay, reading that again. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of bhakti yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, the conclusion is that Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastram Idam Punyam Yaf Patet Prayatav Puman. The result will be that if one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. Bhaya Shokari Varjita. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. And so it says you have to properly follow the instructions. So that means the form is there, but that you have to know what is your goal. That's why this whole study is broken down into these parts, that we start to learn what are the divisions of how we should analyze things. Otherwise, our analyzation may be very, not very scientific. Right? We may, just something within our experience or something, we'll deal with that, but it won't necessarily take on a very logical sequence that's complete. Otherwise, we may take some aspect of it or not. Something that we have difficulty in understanding, we'll leave that. Something that we are of interest in due to our conditioned nature, that will come to the front. Right? So it won't necessarily make for a balanced analyzation. Therefore, we have to learn. So these whole things of establishing your sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, your relationship, your process, and your result. Then what are the different ingredients within that? Right? It means, what is the process? Who's qualified for the process? What are the different elements of the process? What did those different elements give you? Therefore, what can you gain from following this relationship? Right? And that what gains, what is that look, what that ultimate result? What are you trying to get? You know, in other words, different parts will give you particular results on the path of application. You understand? But getting the result from that application, that's your goal. Does that make sense? Right? You want to get to work, so therefore you get in the car, it'll get you there. But it's getting to work that you're doing. So the car can get you to work. Right? Does that make sense? That's not the goal. The goal is getting to work. Right? Not the car getting you to work. Right? Okay, if you're a teenager, you just learn how to drive, then getting to work in that car, that's actually more important than getting to work. Right? But, you know, with time, it's getting to work becomes more important when you figure out that, okay, it was your dad's car before, but now when it's your car, you got to pay the bills. So getting to work's more important than driving there. Right? You understand? So there's a difference. That's the difference between the sambandha aspect of purpose and the prayojana of result. Because result is actually what you're trying to obtain. Right? And the purpose means what each element can do in that process. Why is that element in the process? Right? Why do you have chanting? Right? Because that will then, by associating with the Lord, then you can remember Him. Right? So remembering the Lord is what you're trying to do. Does that make sense? So therefore, that process of chanting, that's purpose is to put you always in contact with the Lord. You're purified. So there's more inclination. And by always hearing that repetition, that practice, then by association, we get attached to whatever we work with. That's the nature of the soul. Soul's dependent. It will become attached to anything you work with. Right? That's the difference. Krishna's saying, I can work with anything, I don't get attached. Right? He's in the body. He's in the body as long as you're in the body. Right? And he's been conscious the whole time. We only get conscious a little later. Right? But we're so attached to it right from the beginning when we're not conscious. You know, but he's not. And he never becomes. You understand? He can work with this whole world. He doesn't become attached to it. But it doesn't mean he doesn't work. Right? Because his drive is affection. Right? Not attachment. You understand? It means in the material sense. Right? We're driven because of material attachment as our goal. Therefore, we work. Right? We identify with those things we can be attached to and that we get results from. Right? You get a result from something, you become attached to that. Right? Then that becomes part of your identity. So you adjust your identity with what your goal is. Right? Something gives you a nice experience, you start to identify with that experience. So you actually change your identity to go with your goal. That makes sense? So the idea is that therefore, by following this process, that as we become more and more attached to the Lord, we more and more adjust our identification. Right? So that gives us more focus, more determination. Right? So therefore, in the sambandha, these various aspects have to be brought out so that we're very clear what they are. We're very clear of... Very clear on how to understand something and apply it. Because if we don't understand it, we won't apply it very well. The better we understand it, the better we apply it. So therefore, then, in your sambandha, or understanding the relationship that is there between us and Bhagavad Gita, right? Then you have the spirit in which it should be approached, the purpose of the Gita, the subject matter of the Gita, the process for understanding the Gita. Right? So, because sambandha, a relationship, is connected to itself, to the process, and to the result, because only if you have a relationship, then you can have a process and a result. So, that means its definitions within relationship include the definitions for the process and the result. Right? So when you're defining the process, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is process. Does that make sense? Right? These subtleties are important to know because these are fundamental subtleties. And then other subtleties will be based on this. Does that make sense? So the spirit, that the right mood is there, you have that mood, that connection to Krishna, that surrender to Krishna. Right? You understand that he's the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it's his instructions. His instructions are eternal. He's eternal. So therefore, you'll get eternal benefit. Right? The purpose of the Gita, then, is just mentioned, is that by practicing what's there, one will be able to remember Krishna, and one will become completely absorbed in Krishna. One will solve all the problems of human life, which is being here in the material world. Right? Not being God conscious. Right? So you can become God conscious by following Gita. Then the subject matter will be all the elements that are there that you have to work with. Right? You're going to work with God. You're going to work with the material world. You're going to work with the living entities. You're going to work with karma. And you're going to work with time. These are the subject matters. Because this then is the field of activities. Everything that you're working with was contained in these. So that's your subject matter. Right? And then the process for understanding, so how you have to apply that spirit, you know, and that purpose on the subject matter, then you're going to get, you know, a result. But until that's understood, how you're going to deal, right? That proper understanding, that respect, that proper practice and application, right? Then, understanding that, then it makes sense what is the goal. So then you can understand this is the goal. What it is, by understanding this, what can you get from it? Going back to Godhead. Right? Then, understanding that, now you can apply it in your life, how to apply that knowledge for that goal. Right? So, the Gita will give all these different things. So these are, yeah. There's also a further advantage. Oh, no, here we go. One will be free from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. So fear is basically fear of our identity. Because we have an identity of what we think we are, and we're actually afraid of what we actually are. Because by taking up the position of who we actually are, then that takes surrender, that takes trust, that takes faith. Because we're not the controller and enjoyer. We're not God. So that takes faith to take that up. So we're very attached to this concept that I am God. I am the controller and enjoyer. So that way, then everything's within how it'll work the way I want because I'm in control. That gives us security. It makes us feel secure. So in this case, then to actually become, but the material nature, because it was changing, since the soul's eternal, it needs eternal security. So the material energy can't provide eternal security because it's always changing. Right? And not for increasing your pleasure. You know, it's just everything just degrades and falls apart. Right? So it doesn't end in a nice way. Right? You know, it's just like it's reciprocal. Just as there's no nice way to say goodbye to Maya because Maya doesn't say goodbye nicely either. You know what I'm saying? You know, your dog just dies. You know, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It's not, there's not a whole thing like that. You understand? Whatever it is, it just ends. So she doesn't say goodbye nicely. So that way, there's no nice way to say goodbye. Because she doesn't afford the opportunity. She's not going to talk about it, you know? You know, that's not, does that make sense? You know, it's just, you know, talk to the modes, you know, so like that, yeah. So, I got it? So it's just the way it is. There's a first, so when one becomes fearless means one is adjusted with one's relationship with God. Because he's eternal, that means then our security is eternal. Then you're fearless. Right? Fear comes from insecurity. If you're not insecure, why you'll be fearful? Right? So fear is coming due to insecurity. That insecurity is because we're trying to establish our security based on the mundane, which is temporary. So we have to base it in the Lord because he's eternal. Right? Then we'll be satisfied. And it's not just the situation is there. It has to be more than that. Because we can be in a nice situation, but if nothing's happening, we'll get bored. Right? There has to be relationships, and those relationships have to be nice. We can be in a nice situation, great situation. Something goes wrong, people don't want to be involved. You know, they don't want to be involved. The nicest place, if something bad happens there, they don't want to be there. Right? Doesn't matter how nice it is. It's just the way it works. So situation's not enough. Therefore, that whole relationship is actually what we make our decision on. Right? Does that make sense? That's there. So it's that you go to a very nice place and you'll appreciate the place. In other words, you appreciate the environment. But what's most important? What's going to make it memorable? Is what happens in relationships in that environment. The relationships are good, then that environment is nice for you. The relationships aren't good, the environment's not nice for you. You don't see it that way. So the environment is judged by your goal. Right? So the relationships that happen, what experiences you gain from them, that's what's important. So that would mean is being situated in the eternal platform is nice, but that's a situation. You have to have relationships. That's why the soul cannot remain in the impersonal state for any length of time. Because there are no relationships. Nice situation, but no relationships. Therefore, one will come back. You understand? So that eternality means that it has to be that the Supreme Lord is involved. He's eternal. We're connected with him. But there's a relationship with him. Right? Not that just, you know, he arranges everything for you. Right? That. No, but he's the goal. Right? As we were discussing. In the causation, he has to be the final goal that you're interested in. Otherwise, if it's not, then the relationship's going to end. Does that make sense? Like that. There's also a further advantage. Gita jayana shilasya pranayama parasicha naiva shantihi papani purva janma kritani cha. Oh, okay. So that other one was Gita Mahatma, the first verse. What was previously? Gita Shastram Idam Punyam. Now this is the second verse. If one reads Gita very nicely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Okay, so now we're going, probably giving a study of the Gita Mahatmya. Okay, so first is by studying Gita, one will be freed from all miseries and anxieties and fears, and one's next life will be spiritual. Right? The miseries and anxieties come because of fear. Right? There's no fear, there's no misery and anxiety. Right? Because this misery and anxiety is that we're dissatisfied because things don't go the way we want them to. Because we have an idea that this is, in my relationship with the material energy, this is how things should work out. When they don't work out, then there's a problem. And because they don't work out, we're in anxiety if they will work out. Right? So there's always this fear. Right? So if one gives that up, one follows the instructions, then one will be freed from this fear, anxiety, you know, lamentation, all these different things, because one's working on the eternal platform. So there's no need. Now it says that if you study with all sincerity and all seriousness, all the reactions of his past misdeeds will be gone, and they won't act upon him. Right? So this can mean, one, is that they themselves go away, and so there is no reaction at all. Or two, even if there is some reaction, it doesn't bother you. You know, it just doesn't bother you. Right? Because if we think about it, many times situation is there and may be nice or not nice because of the mood. So just as we gave before a nice example, there can be a not nice situation, but the interaction was nice, we were in a good mood, you don't mind. You know, one day, you know, you've had a bad day, you know, everything went wrong in the morning, traffic jams, going to work, work was really bad and all that, and you came out late, and then, you know, you're coming out and then it rains. You know, and it's just like, oh yeah, one more thing. Go ahead, pile it on. You know, it's like, you know, like that. So you feel bad. But let's say there's another situation and things are going really well, you know, and something happens that you're really, really interested in or very happy about obtaining. And that, and it starts to rain. You don't care. In fact, you know, you start dancing in the rain. You know, it's just, it adds to something, changes the flavor, adds to it. You understand? So that's the thing, is it's a matter of interpretation. On the situations are situations. Now, according to nature of something, a situation is nicer or not nicer for a particular activity and result. But ultimately, it's how you perceive it. You know what I'm saying? So there's recommended relations, you know, situations for certain relationships, right? But it's up to how you perceive it. Like that. So, if one brings one's perception in line with Bhagavad Gita, then everything works nicely. If you don't, then, you know, you're on your own. You know, it's up to the quality of your own conditioned nature. So, the Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tuam sarva papebhyo, moksha ishyami masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him, and he indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. The next Gita. So that's the verse that then backs up what he just said. Then Malanir Mochanam Pumsham Jalasnanam Dine Dine Shakrid Gitamritam Snanam Samsara Malanasanam. One may cleanse oneself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Right? So by so many purificatory rites you can purify yourself, but by being absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita, even hearing once, the cleaning that does is permanent, right? You take your bath, you know, it's nice, but then, you know, some hours later you need to take another one, right? You know, but this, you take that, it's eternal. It lasts. It's permanent. So once one has taken that up seriously, then one's material existence actually is conquered like that. It's just a matter of time and practice. Right, because remember, time is one of the elements that must be factored in. So it's a matter of practice over time, and then it happens. Right? Because it's not just you do something once and then that's it and sit back and now God's supposed to pat you on the back eternally, right? Like that. So the point is that it's interaction. It's interaction because we identify so much with the material nature. Therefore, all of our need to interact with the Lord comes through that medium. So those things that are important to us, those things, in other words, by our conditioned nature, what we're comfortable with, we engage in the Lord's service, what is important to us, you know, whether the Lord's involved or not, those things then, depending upon its nature, pious or impious, then we have more or less troubles in those areas. You understand? In other words, engaging your nature in Krishna's service gives you no trouble. It is comfortable. It's what you can do. You know how to do that. The problem is what you're attached to. That's where your problem comes. Right? But because it's connected to Krishna, then you're making spiritual benefit. But it's not that there won't be some discomfiture, you know, at some point, because ultimately, then what is it? The material thing that you're approaching Krishna with that's more important, or Krishna? Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, the boy comes with a nice, you know, long-stemmed red roses and pronounces his affection for the girl and goes to hand the roses to the girl, you know, because the roses are the medium for expressing that affection, you know. But, you know, because he is a florist and, you know, a gardener, then as he takes the flowers, he kind of holds on to them. He's a little reluctant to let go of them because, you know, they're such good flowers. I mean, these are, you know, what he went, you know, he went in and he got them specially ordered, you know. He got them off of, you know, eBay and this and that, had them flying in. It was a big problem. You know, customs also gave him problem because there were some rare thing from across the seas, then the different kinds of research he did and the fertilizer he went into him and then growing and then the bugs attacked, you know, and then he had to go and research that and get rid of the bugs, but because he likes to do naturally, how to get rid of the bugs without the chemicals, so all these different things like that. And then, you know, with time, then he finally got them, they grew, they're very nice and everything like that, you know, how he cut them, you know, cleaned off all the little thorns and everything, wrapped it up, you know, this whole, you know, floor, you know, the ecstasy of the florist in action and all that. And now to just give that away like that, you know, just, you know, so, you know, he's shown the affection. Why can't he keep the flowers, you know? You know what I'm saying? So that's what's happening in Sakam Karma Yoga. We're offering it to Krishna, but kind of holding on to him. So there's going to be a little bit of a problem there, you know, because we have to remember, God's better at pulling on something than we are to holding on to it, you know, like that. So, does that make sense? You know. Yes.
Somebody has a dream offering to Krishna nice burger, vegetarian, and then Krishna appears and, oh, so nice, and then he says, oh, Krishna will eat his hand, and then he woke up.
Yes, like that. Okay. Then, yeah, Gita Mahat before. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kim Anyai Shastra Vishtarahi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmad Vinishrita Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read all other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. I hope you're not in anxiety that what you see is not what I'm reading. Okay. In the present age, people are embarrassed by so many things, so absorbed in mundane activities, that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. Right? Because here it says, because Prabhupada uses here, all here. So that's kept it, so that's double. Because then the all will not need read all Vedic literatures. Because then, before it was all the Vedic literatures or one literature, the Veda. So it was the Atharva Veda. So everything was in it. So someone would read that, and then their intelligence was so developed that they could then separate all the different information, connect everything together that was common, and in this way be able to understand how to apply it in their life. But unfortunately, because people are not so qualified in this age, then everything becomes separated. But each one is written in such a way that in its own, it has a completeness. Because right? It's actually a subject about the Lord, just through a particular medium. Though most people are attached to that medium. Like Ayurveda is about the Lord, but it's through the medium of medicine and health. So most people get attracted or distracted by the medicinal qualities of the description and actually don't understand the philosophy and the Lord and how he's acting within this subject matter. Right? So, therefore, that's why you get some people are, you know, into Ayurveda and they're very pleasant, nice to be with. Other people into Ayurveda and they're real annoyance. Because one is using it for Krishna and one is distracted by it. Though he may use it for Krishna, but it's a matter of the Sakam and Nishkam. Right? Does that make sense? So all other Vedic literature, so since each one is complete, you don't need to read all of them. So the main is Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, these. By reading that, you get the benefit of all. Then if understanding that, what you need for your service or that, you can then read other ones in light of that. Right? That's the position. It is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. But this is not necessary. This one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gita Mahatmya 4. So just this one book, then everything is contained within it. All philosophy, everything that one needs to know is all in this book. As it is said, Bharatam Rita Sarvasvam Vishnu Vaktrad Vinishritam Gita Gangaurikam Pitva Punarjanma Navidyate. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata and is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu, Gita Mahatmya. Remember these verses that we're going through now, these are written by Shankaracharya. Like that. So that's why many of his followers get bewildered because he says all these so-called impersonal things and then he does stuff like this, directly glorifying Krishna and everything. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord. Still, from a neutral position, we can appreciate the Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges. Because one is Vapu, the other is Vani. Right? So there's no difference, but at the same time, there is. Right? Like that. So because the body is there, that is the person, at the same time is that person has, you know, particular interests and feelings and relationships. So that's actually more important. Does that make sense? So in other words, since the body is connected to the person, then you're going to deal nicely with the body. But more important than just dealing with the body is the person that's in that body. You know, or if you're in the spiritual path, or the person who is that body. but, you know, on here it's not. Does that make sense? Because otherwise some people take care very nicely. You know, that they take care. The health of the children is nice. Everything is nice. All facilities are nice. But there's no relation. Right? And the child's not secure. So there's a good chance, even though they've grown up in such a nice environment, all things provided, they have a tendency to live a different lifestyle because they tend to reject because it was only a situation. Right? You know what I'm saying? It was the situation of the relationship. It wasn't the dynamic relationship. So their experience in that situation, you know, though not unpleasant, you know, physically, was not emotionally very satisfying. And so therefore they'll look somewhere else for that emotion. So wherever they find that, that's where they'll go. And unfortunately, they generally find that as teenagers with their friends out on the street. So their lifestyle changes very dramatically. Does that make sense? So this is what's going on. So many things, I just take care, the facilities, that's enough. No, you have to do more than that. That's the environment. That's the situation. That's only part of the relationship. You have to act within the relationship. And the result from acting has to be, appreciated. Does that make sense? Then it's complete. Otherwise, it's not complete. So that's why then the words become more important. Because then you can actually understand the feelings, the desires of the person. And so in dealing with the form, then you can deal with the form in such a way that the actual interest of the person, the needs of the person is obtained. Does that make sense? Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So if the environment's nice and the relations are nice, then one is satisfied. Otherwise, it's more of a problem. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopalanandana Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat. This Gita Upanishad, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarine milk of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so we'll end with that. And then we'll continue. Today is what? Tuesday, so on Thursday. Okay, looks like we're getting to the end of this. But there's more than this?
Or?
This is the last. Okay. Okay, so it looks like we'll end this on Thursday. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Janitai Gaura Premanandini.